The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Continuing in the Yoga of Integral Knowledge, Part 2, with Chapter 27, Hatha Yoga, page 332. The first object of the immobility of the asana is to get rid of the restlessness imposed on the body and to force it to hold the pranic energy instead of dissipating and squandering it. The experience in the practice of asana is not that of a cessation and diminution of energy by inertia, but of great increase, inpouring, circulation of force. The body, accustomed to work off superfluous energy by movement, is at first ill able to bear this increase and this retained inner action, and betrays it by violent tremblings. Afterwards, it habituates itself, and when the asana is conquered, then it finds as much ease in the posture, however originally difficult or unusual to it, as in its easiest attitudes, sedentary or recumbent. It becomes increasingly capable of holding whatever amount of increased vital energy is brought to bear upon it without needing to spill it out in movement. And this increase is so enormous as to seem illimitable, so that the body of the perfected Hatha Yogin is capable of feats of endurance, force, unfatigued expenditure of energy, of which the normal physical powers of man at their highest would be incapable. For it is not only able to hold and retain this energy, but to bear its possession of the physical system and its more complete movement through it. The life energy, thus occupying and operating in a powerful, unified movement on the tranquil and passive body, freed from the restless balancing between the continent power and the contained, becomes a much greater and more effective force. In fact, it seems then rather to contain and possess and use the body than to be contained, possessed, and used by it, just as the restless, active mind seems to seize on and use irregularly and imperfectly whatever spiritual force comes into it. But the tranquilized mind is held, possessed, and used by the spiritual force. The body, thus liberated from itself, purified from many of its disorders and irregularities, becomes, partly by asana, completely by combined asana and pranayama, a perfected instrument. It is freed from its ready liability to fatigue. It acquires an immense power of health. Its tendencies of decay, age, and death are arrested. The Hatha Yogin, even at an age advanced beyond the ordinary span, maintains the unimpaired vigor, health, and youth of the life in the body. Even the appearance of physical youth is sustained for a longer time. He has a much greater power of longevity, and from his point of view, the body being the instrument, it is a matter of no small importance to preserve it long and to keep it for all that time free from impairing deficiencies. It is to be observed also that there are an enormous variety of asanas in Hatha Yoga, running in their fullness beyond the number of 80, some of them of the most complicated and difficult character. This variety serves partly to increase the results already noted, as well as to give a greater freedom and flexibility to the use of the body. But it serves also to alter the relation of the physical energy in the body to the earth energy, with which it is related. The lightening of the heavy hold of the latter, of which the overcoming of fatigue is the first sign, and the phenomenon of utapana, or partial levitation, the last, is one result. The gross body begins to acquire something of the nature of the subtle body, and to possess something of its relations with the life energy. That becomes a greater force, more powerfully felt, and yet capable of a lighter and freer and more resolvable physical action. Powers which culminate in the hatha yogic siddhis, or extraordinary powers of garima, mahima, anima, and lagima. Moreover, the life ceases to be entirely dependent on the action of the physical organs and functionings, such as the heartbeats and the breathing. These can, in the end, be suspended without cessation of or lesion to the life. All this, however, the result in its perfection of asana and pranayama, is only a basic physical power and freedom. The higher use of hatha yoga depends more intimately on pranayama. Asana deals more directly with the more material part of the physical totality, though here too it needs the aid of the other, pranayama, starting from the physical immobility and self-holding which is secured by asana, deals more directly with the subtler vital parts, the nervous system. This is done by various regulations of the breathing, starting from equality of respiration and inspiration and extending to the most diverse rhythmic regulations of both, with an interval of inholding of the breath. In the end, the keeping in of the breath, which has first to be done with some effort, and even its cessation become as easy and seem as natural as the constant taking in and throwing out, which is its normal action. But the first objects of the pranayama are to purify the nervous system, to circulate the life energy through all the nerves without obstruction, disorder, or irregularity, and to acquire a complete control of its functionings so that the mind and will of the soul inhabiting the body may be no longer subject to the body or life or their combined limitations. The power of these exercises of breathing to bring about a purified and unobstructed state of the nervous system is a known and well-established fact of our physiology. It helps also to clear the physical system, but is not entirely effective at first on all its canals and openings. Therefore, the hatha yogin uses supplementary physical methods for clearing them out regularly of all their accumulations. The combination of these with asana, particular asanas have even an effect in destroying particular diseases, and with pranayama, maintains perfectly the health of the body. But the principal gain is that by this purification, the vital energy can be directed anywhere, to any part of the body, and in any way, or with any rhythm of its movement. The mere function of breathing into and out of the lungs is only the most sensible, outward, and seizable movement of the prana, the breath of life, in our physical system. The prana has, according to yogic science, a fivefold movement pervading all the nervous system and the whole material body and determining all its functionings. the Hatha yogin seizes on the outward movement of respiration as a sort of key which opens to him the control of all these five powers of the prana. He becomes sensibly aware of their inner operations, mentally conscious of his whole physical life and action. He is able to direct the prana through all the nadis or nerve channels of his system. He becomes aware of its action in the six chakras, or ganglionic centers of the nervous system, and is able to open it up in each beyond its present limited, habitual, and mechanical workings. He gets, in short, a perfect control of the life in the body in its most subtle nervous as well as in its grossest physical aspects, even over that in it which is at present involuntary and out of the reach of our observing consciousness and will. Thus, a complete mastery of the body and the life, and a free and effective use of them established upon a purification of their workings, is founded as a basis for the higher aims of Hatha Yoga. All this, however, is still a mere basis. The outward and inward physical conditions of the two instruments used by Hatha Yoga. There still remains the more important matter of the physical and spiritual effects to which they can be turned. This depends on the connection between the body and the mind and spirit, and between the gross and the subtle body on which the system of Hatha Yoga takes its stand. Here it comes into line with Raja Yoga, and a point is reached at which a transition from the one to the other can be made. Thus ends chapter 27, Hatha Yoga, page 535.